Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Prevents property taxes from overloading a family's budget by shutting them off once they cross a certain threshold or of a family's income. The circuit breaker would protect those with household incomes of up to $150,000 with a staggered benefit for lower incomes. Those making $60,000 or less would have their assessments capped at 4% of their income. Those making between $60,000 and $100,000 would have property taxes capped at 5% of the income. And those making between $100,000 and $150,000 would have property taxes capped at 6% of their income. By tying the relief to income level, we more narrowly tailor our tax reforms to best serve the people and make our system more fair for seniors and hardworking families in our state. I want to also add that this property circuit breaker has been implemented in Maryland, Maine, and the District of Columbia successfully, and I'd ask for your favorable support of the amendment.
So this was one of the proposals. This was Barbara Sharif, a Democrat in the Senate, proposing that the cap on prices, the cap on your property taxes be tied to income. Essentially, anybody over $150,000, they can pay whatever they pay, but that somehow it ought to be limited to, for example, 6%, so $9,000 for them, 5% for $5,000 at 100 and below $60,000, $2,400. I thought that was an interesting approach. You know, it would have required that you have, you know, I mean, it's weird because we don't have a state income tax, so what documentation would you use? Well, your federal 1040 would probably be adequate for it. That was an interesting alternative suggestion in addition to the homestead exemption, trying to help people who don't make very much money. That one got, you know, totally voted down by Republicans. Another one, Carlos Guillermo Smith.
What I have before you today is a simple amendment, a very simple proposition, which is to enact a sunset clause on this constitutional amendment, if it is enacted by over 60% of Florida voters when it goes to the ballot in November. The sunset clause is approximately 5 calendar years. So we all know that the constitutional amendment, if it is enacted by voters, will take effect on January 1, 2027. And our amendment puts a sunset clause on that says that it will expire on December 31st, 2031. Very simple, a sunset clause here. That is the amendment.
You know, what was funny about this one is Carlos Guillermo Smith, another Democrat. I don't think I have ever found myself in alignment with him on almost anything, but I thought this is a great idea. Put a 5-year limit on it and we'll come back and evaluate. Let's see what we like at that point. It allows us to, I think all legislation ought to have a sunset provision, especially if you're spending money, you know, but, you know, if you're doing a big change in the Constitution, changes in the Constitution are, you know, hard to get done and very hard to undo. They probably ought to all come with sunsets or at least, you know, extenders or, you know, repeat, whatever you want to call it, because we ought to look at them again in 5 years or 10 years or something like that. And anything that costs money ought to come with a sunset provision. And then, you can tweak it, you can revise it, whatever the case may be. In this particular case, how much attention do you think that he got?
Are there questions to the sponsor? Is there debate?
Any questions? Any debate?
Senator Smith, you are recognized to close.
No comment. Total silence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I presume the reason there's no debate is it's a no-brainer and everyone's going to vote for it. It's going to be unanimous.
I love his sense of humor. That's great. And, you know, look, he's a gay Democrat from South Florida. I like his presence. He's often got interesting things. He's certainly very clear in his opinions. He used to be in the House, and he was always fun to listen to over there. I don't agree with him almost ever, but I thought he was exactly right about this.
We all know that what is being placed in front of voters in November is a transformational restructuring of Florida's tax policy. It is transformational for better or worse. No one knows what the outcome will be. I don't know what the consequences will be. President Albritton doesn't know. Senator Avila doesn't know. The governor does not know the full ramifications of what we are about to do.
Right, and we're doing it so hastily, as we've heard from D.C. and from Jimmy Patronis. I mean, everybody else observes this. It's a very quickly done thing. It was absolutely, you know, shystered together in order to make sure that he had the power to line item veto and threaten people and make sure that they fell in line and get it done. But, and I'll say this, I feel very conflicted about it because I think the process how we got here is terrible. I also have hated property taxes for so long philosophically that this is, I can't believe I'd even question at all, even raise questions about the decision, you know, but here I am.
So a sunset clause is the responsible thing for us as senators to enact, not because necessarily it means that after 5 years, this property tax supersize exemption will be gone forever. It is to give us an opportunity to reassess and actually to think through what future reforms may be necessary, which, by the way, includes extending this supersized property tax exemption on homestead properties in perpetuity. We can put another ballot initiative before voters in 5 years. We have that option with the sunset clause to give voters the opportunity to extend this property tax reform, if they're seeing it's so great. It also gives us the opportunity to retool this policy. Absolutely. In case maybe there's a glitch bill needed.
And of course, that got voted down entirely. I mean, no, you know, total non-consideration. More in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything slow you down. John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Lori Berman raised the question of, you know, the ballot language, the summary that you're going to see on the ballot, it isn't even accurate anymore because it says it's 250. It never said about 150, which it should have included. It doesn't indicate the school board is exempt. It talks about there being a trust fund to backstop poor counties. Like, everything about the ballot language summary was wrong. And she says, I think we should change it to be accurate. Nope. Not dealing with it. LaVon Bracey Davis wound up asking the question about what would be allowed uses. This is actually really important. You remember I told you about there were only specific things that you even can use ad valorem taxes with under the amendment. Then they added a Section G that kind of makes it sound like anything they vote for. Or, by the way, they had forgotten to allow supervisor of elections, county appraiser. You know, they had forgotten to include them. So that got added in this hastily done thing. Anyway, she's going to ask the question of, well, what about all these different things that we currently spend money on? Are they even going to be allowed uses? And getting answers on these specifics. I thought this was a useful exercise.
Was not present at the committee on yesterday. So I'd just like to ask a list for my own edification of some of those things that could still be funded by property taxes if this amendment passes. First and foremost, public libraries, is that a yes or no?
That is a yes.
Public parks?
Yes.
The animal control?
Yes.
And code enforcement?
Yes.
Senator Bracey Davis, you want to just read a bunch of them?
I think I like one by one. Thank you, Mr. President. Mosquito control.
Yeah.
So that would be certainly there's special districts that we have that are mosquito controls. And yes, the answer is yes.
Public housing programs?
Yes.
Just one more. County health departments?
Yes.
Again, just for clarity, does the amendment constitutionally prohibit using property taxes to run our elections?
That is yes. That's not, it is captured within that lines 427 through 431.
So to clarify, it does not prohibit us from running elections. Correct.
And it's good to have all of that on the record. Now, here's where things get interesting. You kind of have to understand how this proposition is written, what that Section G does, and why all of this might matter to a future legislature. This is Kristen Arrington. She's asking the question. Well, I won't let her ask it. I thought this was one of the most insightful questions that got asked during the entire debate. And she's a Democrat, okay? Republicans are not. The problem with having a supermajority, having all the power you like, having the governor's office and a supermajority in both chambers means there's no great check and balance. It's you're prone to doing dumb things. You're prone to rushing stuff through. And it's a good example of why having limits and constraints and accountability for power is important for making better choices, better legislation. If you're not afraid of getting told no or of losing an election or of being challenged in your seat because you do dumb things, well, you wind up doing dumb things, right? So, okay, this is a question that Christian Arrington is going to ask. I think it's a fabulously thoughtful question.
I wanted to ask some questions about with the amended committee substitute and the addition of Category G, allowing ad valorem to fund the operations administration of county officers and expenditures they approve, except those expenditures prohibited by general law. Does that let the legislature then decide by statute what local governments may not fund?
I haven't seen anybody talk about this. I thought this was the most interesting question, and here's why. How many times have you seen Tallahassee try to preempt things to them? Try to tell locals what they can and cannot do and preempt power to themselves, right? Preempt power to Tallahassee. Take it away from the counties and cities. What she's saying is that Section G, the one that kind of allows the local boards to do whatever they want as long as they vote for it, that that's allowable use, except for uses prohibited by general law. And she says, well, uses prohibited by general law, couldn't we as a legislative body come back and say, you can't use it for mosquito control. You can't use it for sewers. You can't use it for roads. I mean, it's not likely they would, but they could literally pass a law restricting local governments on anything they want to restrict them on because the power to do that has been explicitly granted them by the proposition in the Constitution if it gets passed. This puts an enormous amount of power directly in the hands of any future legislature to restrict what state and local governments can even spend their legitimately collected ad valorem property taxes for. And the answer from Brian Avila, who is the senator who is running DeSantis' amendment.
I certainly don't want to speak for future legislatures, but yes, obviously, if something is deemed, and I know that we've had several bills just this past session and in previous sessions where we've prohibited certain actions. So to your question, yes, future legislatures can prohibit some sort of action from local government functions.
Thank you, Senator, for that answer. So what you're saying is that the legislature could do it without returning to the voters who actually approve this amendment.
That is correct.
Exactly. It's amazing. It's amazing what this, and again, as a guy who hates property taxes, I can't believe I have to raise challenges, but this is why you go through a process. This is why you do hearings and testimony and you let people on both sides talk. And here we go. Here we go. 8:22 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, on the House side, I did not watch a lot of the House. Okay. The Senate was about 2 hours. The House was about 3 hours. I didn't watch all of it. I only watched a bunch of the Senate stuff. I will say this, the most entertaining moment on the House side came when a Democrat was proposing, this is Emily Gregory, she's the one that won that special election out of Mar-a-Lago, so they flipped the seat from Republican to Democrat in Trump's, basically like his home district, essentially. And her First Amendment ever in, her first filing of any kind ever in being a legislator was to put a prohibition on using advertising money to advance the proposition. Because, I mean, gosh, why would a governor ever move money into the using of advertising for an amendment, like the $10 million with the Centene thing? Okay, so Kelly Skidmore, who is another Democrat, says,
thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. We should call this amendment the Representative Andrade Amendment, quite honestly.
Even though he's a Republican, of course.
We should dedicate it to Representative Andrade, who so bravely fought this fight during our regular session. And
he got a standing ovation from the Democrats. And you may recall when proposed on the House side to actually make that a law, everybody voted for it. Only now they're not gonna. It's amazing. Just the things you see watching government are absolutely amazing. So here we go. We've got, 4 months to talk, 5 months to talk about it. And I'm trying to give you as much information today and perspective as you can. And my big takeaway from this is I don't know what I'm going to do on this. I don't know whether I'm going to vote for it or against it. Honestly, I don't. As a homeowner, I want to save the money. As a citizen, I don't want to see, you know, our budgets crash. I don't know what I'm going to do. Haven't decided yet. But I am very frustrated at a lot of things that have happened here, including this, the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy from the legislature that they would, yes, cut the city and county slice, which is going to include law enforcement. In Escambia County, you have a 0.68 mils for the sheriff's office. That's going to be directly affected. That's law enforcement. That's first responder funding, okay? And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with MSBUs. Might be okay. MSTUs are going to be affected. Anyway, that they would cut the city and county part and not cut the schools part. That they would cut for the homestead, but they wouldn't cut for property that you might own. And we own a rental property, okay? So our house property tax will go down and our rental property tax will go up. What the hell sense does that make? And by the way, we're just going to pass that on to the renter. But why should the people who are too poor to afford a home be paying more in property taxes? I mean, there's no step down, there's no gradual, and there's no, like, replacement for the things they really have to, replace money. Anyway, it's just, John, tell me to breathe. It'll be okay.
Breathe. Take another one.
God's on the throne. Jesus is on the throne.
Amen. Amen.
Man. I can't remember a lot of times I have been this frustrated with our governor and our legislature over something that you would think I would be 100% on board with, and I'm just not. I'm not against. I haven't decided, but John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got a small little accident that just happened on Davis Highway and Olive Road. It is off to the side of the road, and I'm not seeing any delays slowing you down with that. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, since math is going to be such a big part of this conversation, woo-hoo, why don't you make sure your kids are good at math? Mathnasium is there for them. And by the way, I know right now they're not in school, okay, unless you're doing summer school, but they're not in school. But what happens during the summer is all that math skill knowledge that they've built up, that base that they've been working so hard to build up over the whole year, the summer slide. 50% of students lose 2 or more months of math skills, meaning that if you don't do anything, the chances are high that when they go back in August, they will go back not as May math students, but as March math students. And all that has to be reacquired and relearned. And you can avoid that. You can instead have a summer get ahead, a summer leap, a look ahead and get ready for new skills even that they might be encountering in the fall. You can catch up, keep up and get ahead with Mathnasium. We're big believers in Mathnasium. My son taught there for a year. The owners are our best friends. We love math, believe in it, and do not think we're doing enough to teach our kids math. Go for a free assessment. That's how it starts. Just take your kids in for a free assessment, find out where they're at, and find out what Mathnasium can do for you. Located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring Rollins Distillery, Juneteenth at Five Sisters, Beer Festival, Father's Day, and Dinner with Strings Attached at Jackson Steakhouse, featuring the Pensacola Symphony, all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected. Continuing to grow. And never losing sight of who we serve. Pennair Credit Union. 90 years strong.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
About it.
We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
You look uncertain, John. Blues Brothers. At the end. All the police at the end. All right, David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us before the bottom of the hour. David?
Well, good morning. Los Angeles Angels outfielder Joe Adell found himself on the wrong end of the highlight reel, Andrew, when a fly ball glanced off of his glove, then bounced apparently off of his head and went over the fence, ending in a Colorado Rockies home run.
A glove head over the fence home run goof? Oh, the worst, the worst.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. The president says he'd like to meet the new Ayatollah after the wounded, disfigured son of the deceased Ayatollah joined peace talks, telling the New York Post Pod Force One.
He is giving approval because that's the way it is, has been for a long, long time. Mm. His father and then him, I guess it's a succession. But we seem to be getting along quite well.
And says Iran has agreed not to acquire nuclear weapons amid more U.S. defensive strikes on Iran speedboats. California is still counting its primary vote, but L.A. Mayor Karen Bass forced into a runoff. Number two challenger right now, Spencer Pratt.
I hope she's ready, you know, because I literally could not be more excited.
Republican Steve Hilton leads for California governor. Democrat Javier Becerra, number two. Montana conservative radio host Aaron Flint wins the GOP primary for Ryan Zinke's house seat. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. 74 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies. We'll get a check on our forecast up in just a few minutes. Well, Florida lawmakers did pass a property tax cut proposal yesterday, sending it to November's ballot. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says if voters do approve that in November, the city's budget could take a $6.5 million hit with no legal way to replace it.
72% of households inside the city limits would no longer be paying any property tax for any type of service. By our calculations, a homestead exemption of $250,000 would be a $6.4 million cut to our general fund. Estimated loss in year one would be just over $4 million. And year two would be just under $2.4 million.
And the House did pass that measure 75-26, the Senate 30-9. The homestead exemption under this proposal would rise from $50,000 to $150,000 next year, then $250,000 in 2028. Of course, school district levies were carved out of this proposal. Statewide local governments are projected, though, to lose $4.6 billion annually. Rising up to about $8.4 billion after that. Florida voters would need 60% approval in November for this property tax cut to take effect. Well, there's new mural highlighting Pensacola's partnership with America's Magic, with America's Cup sailing team American Magic, and that's now on display at the baggage claim at the Pensacola Airport. The mural was a gift from the American Magic, designed in collaboration with local Pensacola company Illuma Designs, and it hangs across from an existing Blue Angels display. American Magic COO Tyson Lamond says the team has grown well beyond sailing, with aerospace and defense contracts now running out of their Pensacola facility. Escambia Fire Rescue is looking for more firefighters. A physical abilities testing has been set for June 15th. At Pensacola Fire Station 4 on North Q Street. And applicants do have to apply for the position before they can register for the test. You can do that at myescambia.com. Now, the two suspects at the center of a disturbing Escambia County child abuse case are now facing upgraded charges and sitting in jail on bonds totaling $1.5 million. Sheriff Chip Simmons says investigators worked hard to determine who committed the abuse before they made the arrest on those enhanced charges.
We always kind of thought, well, you know, we have to decide who did the actual abuse, who caused the damage, severe damage to these children, very young children too, by the way. And our investigators have done a jam-up job. They have arrested and now charged these two, not just with the felony neglect, but also with the child abuse itself.
And Sheriff Simmons says this investigation does remain open. Detectives are still working through the full scope of just what happened. A daycare director was previously arrested for failing to report documented evidence of abuse on three separate occasions, despite a Florida law that requires all adults over 18 to report any suspected child abuse. Now, Governor DeSantis is backing a plan that he says would ensure Florida remains the gold standard in emergency management. The governor was in Orlando yesterday announcing the launch of the Coalition for Operational Readiness in Education, or CORE. He says it's a first-of-its-kind initiative and that it would bring together state agencies, colleges, and the private sector to strengthen the future of emergency management workforce. It's 8:35, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free again, along with the delay-free. I-10, I-110 through the construction zones are actually flowing smoothly. Highway 29, 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing those temperatures slightly cooler today with some cloudy skies. 81 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Heading into Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 83 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Cloudy skies, it is 74 degrees right now. And your money now this morning. Our markets are down at the opening bell. The Dow is down 0.25% at 51,202.37. S&P down 0.2%, 75,94.28. NASDAQ down just over 0.25% as well this morning at 27,028 and a tenth. Looking at our 10-year bond rate, we are up a bit today, 4.49%. Commodities prices, gold is down 43.60 at 44.76.30. Silver down 132 at 74.24. Bitcoin is down 369 this morning at 66.952.95. Oil on the rise today with prices up about 1.5%. West Texas Intermediate is up 147 at 95.23 a barrel. Brent crude up 153 at 97.53 a barrel. Looking at our local gas prices, our national average for a gallon of regular gas down today at 426. The Florida statewide average at 393 today, down from 398 yesterday, 426 one week ago, and last year, the statewide average, only $3.04 a gallon. Now, looking at our local prices in Escambia County, seeing prices averaging, it looks like, in the 350s across most of Pensacola. 343 on the low end at a couple of stations right there on Fairfield Drive, close to the west side. In northern Escambia County, slightly higher prices, 360s, 370s from Cantonment all the way to the Alabama line. Gulf Breeze, about $4 a gallon right as you cross the 3 Mile Bridge, but then 370s along 98 through Navarre, and in Milton, average prices right around the 360s. Private sector hiring grew more than expected in May, adding 122,000 workers. Payroll processor ADP reports today that the numbers were up from 105,000 in April and better than market predictions of 110,000. The numbers were the strongest since January of last year. Education and health services had the most growth at 57,000 new hires, followed by trade, transportation, and utilities. And when it comes to salary, people staying at their current jobs saw pay increases for the year of nearly 4.5%. Well, SpaceX looking at a record $75 billion initial public offering. Reuters reporting that the rocket company wants to sell more than 555 million shares at $135 apiece, the largest IPO ever. More than twice the previous record holder, energy company Saudi Aramco in 2019. The company would trade on NASDAQ under the ticker SPCX. Well, Amazon's Prime Day sales event is running later this month, starting on June 23rd through the 26th. A little bit earlier than usual. The company usually holds Prime Day in July. Amazon said this year, groceries and household items will be a big focus on their savings. It's 8:39, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today's question comes from the Ordinary Household Practices file. You ready? Do you wash out your garbage can? 437-1620, 437-1620. And, of course, that can mean any garbage can that you might imagine. You know, you might have, like, the bathroom garbage can. Do you use a liner? Do you not use a liner? The one that's in the kitchen, if you have one in the kitchen, do you ever wash it out? Do you just change the bags? And even the outside ones, the ones that go to the street, do you ever rinse those out? 437-1620. I suppose I've added a second wrinkle is, do you use a liner of some kind in the garbage cans or not? I can't imagine a civilized person doesn't use a liner in their cans, but maybe you're weird like this. I mean, maybe. I mean, that's why I love asking these questions, because you find out, just like when we bike around, we find out people live all kinds of different ways. And they think, oh, that looks good. It does not. But, you know, same thing for a lot of these questions. I think, man, you find out people make a lot of different choices, not the same ones I would make. 437-1620. All right, John, part one. Do you rinse out or clean out with water and or soap, I suppose? Any of your garbage cans? Bathroom garbage can?
No.
A kitchen garbage can?
No.
Outside garbage can? No.
No, so that's outside.
It just does
care.
Whatever it does. Okay, right. It accumulates 53 years worth of whatever. Okay, yeah. Fine.
Fine with me.
And then are you a bag liner?
Oh, we're a bag liner, people.
Small bags for the small ones, medium-sized bags for the medium ones, large for the large, whatever.
Yes,
it's going to have plastic because that's how you don't make it nasty, and also how you transport it to the outside, right?
Correct.
Yeah, simple. Okay, 437-1620. I am a sometimes rinse it out.
Why?
When something drips through the bag, pokes through the bag, whenever there's been like a spill inside. John, it does not work that way. But, you know, whenever there's been a spill, especially like the kitchen one is the one I think of having this happen. You know, like you, something cuts the side of the bag and when you pull it out, it's dripping crud. Or you, whatever, it's too heavy. You put watermelon in there. We just had this happen recently and you didn't think ahead about it. Okay, so if there's been a spill in the bag or as, you know, look, bags are not a 100% protection. And so the smells can permeate through. And so sometimes the can itself can start to smell. I'll rinse that out outside. You know, I know John doesn't care because he doesn't mind if his house smells like trash, right? Isn't that what you said?
No.
Okay. But then also, same problem with the outside trash can. Like, I less care about it.
It's outside.
But every once in a while, it does get to be, I'm like, I should probably
just leave it
out
in the rain with the lid open. That 100%. Washes it out.
Oh, and then just put that down in the storm drain so it goes to the lake.
Why not? Let's go. Let's do it, bro.
Environmentalists can email John Pickens at 437-1620.
Save water.
So what's your practice? Do you ever clean out, rinse out your garbage cans, and do you always use a liner? Oh, and we're 100% liners all the time. A bag of some kind all the time. I can't imagine any other way of doing it. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you got to have any work done in the plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, generator, maybe installed, maybe maintained, whatever the case may be, I know you don't wake up in the morning thinking, woohoo, I get to work on the pipes today. Well, that's why you call Peden, okay? They will take care of you. Ever since 1969, Robert Peden started this company to help people cool off in the summer. Panama City in Florida, guess what? So air conditioning, heating, eventually to plumbing and electrical, anywhere along the Gulf Coast, from Tallahassee all the way to Pensacola, all parts in between, and now west even into Baldwin County and even into Mobile the last couple of years. So they're all along the Gulf Coast, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Because why? Good, well-trained people who put in good quality parts and stand by the work with, as I said, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, priority service. That means you go to the top of the line when there's a lot of demand. And 15% off repairs. That's all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com. 437-1620, 437-1620. All right, let's see. So Dan says, question of the day, do you ever wash out, like with water or soap, I suppose, any of your trash cans? John is a no. I'm a sometimes if something spills or there's a smell. But do you also use a liner? I mean, a bag always. I mean, always use a bag. Somebody says, I don't even take the sticker off the front of the garbage can. It gets dirty. I throw it away and get a new one. Oh, see, here I dispute with you because finding the right, especially the kitchen one, is the one that's the hardest one because it's got the top, you know, that you, and there are many different styles. I suppose we could go down this road also. I am 100% against the step on it can lid ones. They always break and malfunction. They're always irritating. They're slow. But finding one that has a lid that works well is actually a challenge. There's like two in the entire marketplace that work well.
Now ask me what I use.
What do you got? The step on it?
No,
no.
Wave your hand and the lid comes open.
Stop it.
No, seriously, I do. I've had it for years, and I love it.
Motion activated.
Yes, and then it closed right back.
You are so bougie. You are the most bougie person in Milton.
I'm technology. Use it.
437-1620. Let's see. Somebody says, Lou says, my wife says yes. let's see. Somebody says, whenever I can smell them, I wash them. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's the idea. Only wash the garbage can if the plastic bag breaks and icky liquid spills inside of it, right? And sometimes it doesn't. It's not a smell. It can just be like, you know, if Coke leaked in there, it doesn't smell, but it gets all, you know, baked on basically and dried up, and then you've got that corn syrup residue. Somebody says, I have never in my life washed the outside trash can, but the ones inside I wash once a year whenever I do spring cleaning. Oh, I should ask this. I guess we didn't ask. Do you ever wipe off the outside? Do you clean the outside of the trash can?
Really?
Well, what's your answer?
No. Why?
You never spill putting stuff in?
No.
Okay.
But
I have children. I mean, we get spills.
I do
on,
too.
And you wipe down the outside to keep it clean. I want to come to your house and look at your trash can. I think I'll discover some stuff.
I'll take pictures. I mean, you know, it's fine with me.
Somebody says, Wally says, yes, I wash out all cans, including my Waste Pro cans. Waste Pro cans maybe twice a year with bleach. Super aggressive. I like that. Yes, of course, trash cans get nasty, especially the outside ones, says Deborah. Somebody says, nah, no, but the outside ones I most definitely should. So they're admitting that they've discovered a new job. I've made your life
Thanks,
worse.
Thanks, Andrew.
Two liners in the kitchen trash, one to catch anything that leaks out of the first one. Oh, interesting. Somebody says, no need to wash out the can because there are bags in the kitchen garbage and recycle cans, and then those bags plus all the other trash in the house goes in a bigger bag before it goes in the outside trash can. Plus any leftover foods that are too big go in the, yeah, this is too long. But this is a lot. This is a process. Okay. So can I make another observation? You know, like the bathroom trash cans. Okay. Or like, I think of the one in my office is like this. It's a little trash can and mostly what goes in there is just papers. Have you ever taken the little trash can and poured that stuff into the large trash can without actually changing the bag? Because there wasn't anything in there that needed changing. You know, no disgusting stuff, basically. All the time. You know, no, John, no for you?
No.
You just take the bag out?
Take the bag out.
Well, then you got to replace the bag, and that's annoying.
Well, washing it out is annoying.
Oh, I agree.
You know, at least I can put a fresh bag in there, maybe a scented one.
Oh, somebody just texted.
Yeah, that's
I just used the scented bag so you don't have to wash it. I'm not sure those are the same thing. I'm not sure that scented socks mean you don't have to wash your feet. Somebody here, Michael says... Did I just invent something?
Cinnamon. No.
Don't you think scented socks would... All the essential oils people are like, oh, that's genius. You smell like peppermint. It's my socks. Ask me how. Somebody says, if you have bags that leak, you're buying cheap bags.
And all I can think of is the hefty.
Oh, my God. That's right. Somebody says, I just take my neighbor's can on pickup day when mine gets really dirty and swap them out.
Yeah, you don't know the numbers. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's fantastic. 437-1620. Whenever my trash can gets dirty, you know what I do? I just take the neighbors.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
For almost 2 decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
You have to ask me nicely.
The whole damn world is just as obsessed with who's the best dressed and who's having sex.
I'd love to go back to high school. That was so easy.
I feel like finally I could master it.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me another crack at that. 8:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I think I mentioned some of this already, but the we did find out, Jimmy Patronis went to John Fay, the former executive officer for the Blue Angels, to try to get a Blue Angel jet to give to President Trump when he was going to visit him yesterday. And he had his son was in town. He was able to go there as well. And because he has all these military planes in his office, but he didn't have an F-18. And so they got together and they got him a model for a Blue Angel. And it was put together by Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze. So kudos to local companies. And it's got a one on the tail. And the Buno, the identifying number that goes on the tail is 424-1946 for the founding date for the Blue Angels.
Oh, yes.
That's great. I love that. Ah, man, that's fantastic. I love these little details, so that's very cool. And it's in a picture. We posted up on our Facebook page for News Radio 92.3. You can see it there. It's right on his desk. And my only one thought about this was, and nobody asked me, nobody thought, and I probably wouldn't have thought of it at the time. It's always easy to come up with the great thing to say after you're off the air. They shouldn't have put one on the verticals. They should have put a 45 on one side and a 47 on the other side.
Yep.
That thing would have been on the Resolute desk from now until Trump's out of office.
And then he'd probably put it on his real desk.
Right, because for Trump, 45 and 47, which I know other people have done for hats or for jerseys or things like that. But if there was a Blue Angel out there with a yellow 45 on one side and a yellow 47 on the other side, that thing's 100% staying in a prominent position. The photo I've got on the Facebook page of the Jets also, courtesy of John Fay, but and the foundation, Blue Angels Foundation, but is of Ken Paxton, which I wish it weren't of Ken Paxton, but, whatever, you go with what you got. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free and delay-free. There's nothing out there to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, somebody just sent me a text that they saw the other day. It's a trash can cleaning service that somebody had started. Local here. Using 200-degree water. Yes, it's a thing that the ad says. Isn't that hilarious?
That is interesting.
I never heard of that. You guys are the best. One thing we have not talked about yet, and I do want to mention it, Nathan Boyles, District 3 representative, who pretty much he and Alex Andrade are aligned almost 100% of the time, he voted no on the property tax amendment.
He did?
Yeah, and he posted a statement about it. Essentially, I don't want to read you the whole statement, but because I don't have time, but maybe I do. Okay, today the Florida legislature adopted a joint resolution placing a referendum on the November ballot regarding property taxes, although I voted against the final form of the proposal adopted today. I am grateful to serve alongside a governor and legislature that are focused on improving affordability for our citizens. I wholeheartedly agree that we are overdue for a review of the property tax structure in this state, even though I did not concur in the details of the proposal. My concerns center primarily on the uneven distribution of the proposed tax relief, which would benefit homesteaded properties held for 5 years or more, while potentially increasing costs for renters and new homeowners. I agree with that concern. I am also concerned about the potential negative impacts to local services, including fire, law enforcement, emergency medical services, and public works, which are essential to maintaining safe and functional communities. I share this concern. In the months ahead, my staff and I will work to help inform and educate interested voters on both the potential benefits and drawbacks of this referendum so that Floridians can make informed decisions on the ballot box in November. Until then, a full copy of the joint resolution below. So that's the statement from Nathan Boyles. Sorry. Off. John, if you had the button, you could do it. But it's all on me.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, I appreciate that statement. Oh, I had somebody earlier. Andrew, you're not being honest. You're just against this and you won't say so. Bro, don't try to persuade me by calling me a liar. It's just stupid. No, I'm very conflicted on this thing. I don't know whether I would have voted with Nathan. And Judge Maney, by the way, voted against this as well. And you want to challenge his conservative credentials? I don't think so. So I don't know whether I would have voted for it or against it. And under the circumstances of facing the veto threat of any of my, projects, it's hard to stand up against that. Is it a good thing for the people to be able to vote on it? That's an interesting argument. Doesn't mean that everything should be put on the ballot just because, do we put everything on the ballot? Anyway, so I'm fully conflicted. I don't know what I would have done in the state legislature. I don't know what I'm going to do on the ballot initiative in the fall yet. I like getting the money and not paying the property taxes. I worry what it will mean. So anyway, we've been talking about it all day. John, we've covered this topic like six times.
Yes.
And every time you learn something.
I do. I learn something new every time.
It's nuanced. It's complicated. The intricacies, the arguments, the details matter. The podcasts are available for you. I don't know that you're going to find a more comprehensive discussion of the topic than we've done pretty much here this morning. But this is a huge thing in the state of Florida right now, and we wanted to give it its fair due today. Hope you appreciated the conversation. We'll be on to other things tomorrow.